Well, good morning. I wanted to welcome all of you to Asbury United Methodist Church. It's great to see all of you, and it's a blessing to be in worship with you this morning. I'm Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here. Pastor Dee Dee Roberts is going to deliver the message today. She is up in the pulpit. I have a few announcements to go over with you before we get started this morning. First of all, today is Commitment Sunday, which is a joyous and wonderful Sunday here in the life of the church. We're going to do our offering time just a little bit different today. As opposed to the ushers passing the plate, as is normal, we have this basket up here. So this morning we invite you during that time of offering to bring your offering, and then if you have them with you, your pledge card or your covenant form for 2020, and feel free to drop that in there as well. If you ran out the house like I did quickly and you somehow forgot your pledge card, that's okay. We printed more and we have them here. So if you need one, just flag down your usher and he'll be happy to get that to you. A few other things this morning. First of all, if you walk out today and look right down the hall, you're going to see a table with a whole lot of baked goods and casseroles on it. The Altar Guild is doing their bake sale today. So you are welcome to go down there after service is over and take home something that'll make your life a little bit easier on Thanksgiving as you're running around getting everything ready for the holiday. Family to family boxes are due today. So if you have them with you and you've dropped them off, that's great. If they're sitting at home, don't rush to bring them back today. Just bring them back tomorrow. The church office will be open and we'll be happy to get those to where they need to go for you. Also, after service today, they're going to decorate for Advent. The Advent season starts a week from today. So you are welcome to stay if you would like to roll up your sleeves and be part of that. They will be doing that after the 10:45 service this afternoon. So please feel free to stay and help out with that as well. With that being said, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, let's stand up and greet our neighbor with passing the love and peace of Christ. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his holy name. Please remain standing as we sing our hymn of praise, which is hymn 694, Come Ye Thankful People Come. Amen. Please remain standing for the affirmation of faith. Be found in your bulletin. We believe in God, creator of beauty, source of every breath, foundation of every movement. God leads us beside still waters, makes us lie down in green splendor, and lets nature heal and restore us. We believe in Jesus, the risen Christ, who loved the least, the last, and the lost. Christ loves us, calls us by name, and cleanses us from our sins. We believe in the Spirit, who gathers us into a multicultural community, gives us a song to sing, and prepares a feast for us all. We live as God's people, filled with everlasting hope and showered with blessing. Amen.
Glory be.
Please be seated.
Good morning. How is everybody? We're doing well. Well, that's great, and it's wonderful to have you here. I want to tell you that I'm welcoming you here on a very special Sunday. It's Gratitude Sunday, and that's the day that we stop and think about all the wonderful things that God has done for us, and we thank Him for all those blessings. I would like for those of you who will be leaving to go to Kids Club to hold up your hand. How many of you all are in Kids Club? So when you leave here, you'll be going to Kids Club, right? Okay. Some Kids Club and some Sunday school, and some both, I bet. Well, those of you who will be going to Kids Club will not be in here while we go through a very special part of our service. So let me tell you about it, okay? In just a little bit, everyone, mostly grown-ups, will be coming down and placing pledge cards and commitment letters in the altar basket. And that's our way of saying thank you to God, and we're making promises how we're going to work in His church and His kingdom all the next year. And if the grown-ups don't have it together and they've forgotten, an IOU is acceptable. So you may be thinking, what in the world does that have to do with me? I'm not going to even be in here. I'm not a grown-up. I don't have a pledge card. I don't have a commitment letter. But there are lots and lots of ways that you can show your gratitude. You can say thank you to God throughout the whole year. For example, you can pray and read your Bible every day. You might want to tell your parents that this is where you want to be every Sunday morning. That would sure be pleasing to God. Do some of you sing in the joy choir? Well, for those of you who don't, you might decide that you want to participate in the joy choir, right? Right. And next summer, how about gathering up all your friends and bringing them to Vacation Bible School with you? That would be saying thank you to God also, wouldn't it? So there are lots of things that we can do to show God that we love Him and that we're thankful for our many blessings all next year. Let's bow and we'll pray about this. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for showering us with blessings each and every day. Help us to remember to stop and say thank you for all that you've done for us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
As the children make their way to Kids Club, let us gather our hearts and minds together for a time of prayer this morning. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks this day. Your blessings are beyond counting and immeasurable in our lives. We know that we owe you our lives. We know that you are the source of our salvation, that you care for us in so many ways, and you provide all our needs. You have given us family and friends, good work to do, called us into ministry, and blessed us with the deep satisfaction of having meaning and purpose in our lives. Lord, as we gather today and give you thanks for all of that, we pray today for those who don't realize the power of your presence in their lives. We pray for the least and the last. We especially pray for those who long for meaning and hope. And we thank you that part of our calling, part of our blessing in you, is to speak a word of hope, to demonstrate meaning, and to witness to your constant mercy and love for all of those who need to know you. God, today as we gather, we pray for our country, for the division that seems so deep, and yet, one-on-one, around our tables, we do pray that we will find a way to reach out in love and unity, to make space for our differences. And above all else, to see one another as brothers and sisters and trust in each other that while we may be different, we do have the best interest of God and country at heart. Lord, we pray for our leaders. We pray for our president, for our senators, for our congressmen, for our local officials, and our state representatives, and all those who have authority in law over us. Give them wisdom. Help them to be guided by a higher righteousness and to seek first your kingdom, even as they govern. And finally, Lord, as we realize that we will be in preparation this week for family, for friends, for a feast around tables, we pray that you will keep us mindful that all is a gift from you, that we will be aware of and pray for those who do not have a table or perhaps have no one else to pray for them. Not out of guilt, but out of gratitude. And we pray that you will show us the way to be in ministry with and for and to them. In the name of Christ our Lord, for we pray today as he taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today is found in the 11th chapter of John, and it will be a familiar story to many of you as it is the raising of Lazarus. We'll begin with the 38th verse. Gosh, where did I get John 11, not the 11th verse? All right. I'm catching up with myself after all. Hear now this word from John's gospel. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, Unwrap him and let him go. Many of the people who were there with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it seems that there was a very creative Sunday school teacher who was teaching this story to her Sunday school class. And she asked the children to act it out. So as you would expect, someone was chosen to be Jesus, someone else Martha, someone else Mary, and someone else Lazarus. As the children prepared, they carefully wrapped Lazarus with a lot of toilet paper. I mean, a lot. They had him bound up for ages to come. And then the children who did not have a starring role became the chorus or the townspeople, and they began to act the story out. They came to the part that we read this morning. Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus came out just like you would expect him to do. And then Jesus said, "Unwrap him and let him free." And all those townspeople began to unwrap all that careful wrapping that they had done. And the teacher said, "For the first time ever, I noticed that while Jesus performed the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, he left it to the people to teach Lazarus to live again, to unwrap him, to bathe him, to teach him to walk, and to help him understand this thing that had happened to him, this new life." That caught my attention. I have to confess that I, like the teacher, had never really thought about that before. The role of the community of faith in this miracle of resurrecting or resuscitated life. You and I are constantly asked by Jesus to unwrap and set free those he has raised from the dead, those he has offered new life, those who have come to believe in him. And if that doesn't give us all chill bumps, I don't know what will. Now, all month long, we've been counting or collecting blessings. I hope you've joined with me in keeping a gratitude journal. Now, I'll confess to you that I did miss a day or two, particularly in this last week while Michael was out of town and I was trying to be mom and grandma and pastor and whatever else I do. I had a couple of days there where I simply ran out of time. But there were also days when I looked at my list and I thought, these are kind of trite, sort of ordinary things to give thanks for. There was one morning in particular that I woke up and my first thought was how grateful I was for my warm bed. And I was so grateful that I decided not to get out of it right away. And I laid there and counted my blessings, and I had a long list before I dozed back off, and we almost were late for school. But then I added one more blessing to my list, even then, that extra sleep is always good. What I realize now, after 24 days of being attentive to the blessings in my life, I recognize that I've changed a little bit. I'm less anxious. I'm more aware of the moment and not so stuck in the past or racing forward to what comes next. I seem more content with the people around me and the things I have. Why, this week I even took Brother Nick's advice and digged some KonMari on my cleaning out my closet. It looks great. And most of all, I've learned that through this time of gratitude, I have everything I need to do what I believe God is calling me to do. Now, be clear, I don't possess all that I need, but I have everything I need. Unwrap him and let him go. Jesus worked the miracle. He commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb, but then he left the work of helping him to live a full life to those who had come to mourn. The irony of the story cannot be ignored. The people who witnessed the raising of Lazarus had come for a funeral, and instead they celebrated a birthday. You would think that everyone would be dancing and singing and praising the Lord, but John only notes that now the plot to kill Jesus includes getting rid of Lazarus as well. I think this choice is set before us every day. Will we fully participate in the life that Christ offers us, or will we choose death? Will we rejoice, or will we deny the glory of God in our midst? Will we unwrap the gifts that God continually offers, or will we look for the next thing that we want? I could go on and on with questions like these because they're the questions that haunt me in my quietest moments. And they're also important, not only for our future, but for our present as well. You see, I believe that we are called to be friends of God, those present to witness to the miracles that God is working in our lives and to live into the newness that God offers each and every one of us. This evening, our prison ministers will go to the jail. They'll sing, they'll play, they'll pray, they'll teach, and in the end, God will act. I know God will act. And God will call some of those men from death to new life. They will turn their lives around, and our prison ministers will be there to unwrap them, bound them, and set those brothers free. It happens every time, and every time, every life that is present there is changed. The new believer's life, the lives of those who offered their time and talents and gifts to God for the sake of that ministry. Because God is there to do what God does. Come out, live, be born again. And it happens around here as well. Are you aware that nearly 20% of our youth are exploring a call to ordained ministry in their lives? I know of 4 adults who are wrestling with a call. And friends, that does not happen in every church. In fact, it happens in very few. Come out, God is saying. Come out and be set apart for the work of Christ. And you and I are the witnesses to that, being given the opportunity to help them unpack that calling and be ready to send them on their way. Last week, a gentleman came to the church seeking some assistance. He had immigrated here very recently from South Africa. He has a green card and a job and an apartment and a family, a wife and four daughters, which he was proud to tell us about several times. Now, what he needed from us was some food and a little help with their hotel bill because his paycheck was going to the deposit on the apartment and to some expenses they had to get moved in. And it just wouldn't quite stretch far enough. He was very specific about what he needed and really asked for very little. And we were able to help because of your tithes and offerings. We were able to provide some food and one night, which is all he asked for at the hotel. It fascinated me to think about this man called out from his own country and kin, who would take on the long trek to new life and freedom, even though he knew it would be hard. He came. And even though he didn't want to ask, he received. Scholars say that the glory of God is when God shows us a glimpse of his divine power and presence and goodness. This morning we might have shouted glory at the anthem. We might have shouted glory at the children sitting here paying attention to Miss Vicky. You see, the glory of God is all around us. You saw glory in every gratitude you recorded in your journal. Tonight, there will be glory in the prison. Glory is in the faces of six of our own members who are living into a call to ministry. And glory is present in the gratitude of a stranger who has received the help he needed because we are generous, or try to be. I can't imagine a better invitation this morning as we harvest our Thanksgiving offerings and make our 2020 commitments. Unwrap him, unbound her, open up and be set free. Because you see, glory and life, they are in our midst. And Jesus is commanding us to live in it, offer it, and celebrate it. Life. Glory. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, as we sing together our offertory hymn number 131, I would invite all of you at the leading of the Spirit to simply come down the center aisle and place your offering, your pledge card, and if you have it ready, your covenant commitment into the basket to be left there, and we'll dedicate it, all of ours together. As we celebrate, indeed, the glory of God in our midst. Let us stand and sing.
Amen. Please join me as we lift up our hearts and our voices for this, our prayer of dedication, found in your bulletin. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are a God of abundant love, mercy, and grace. You watch over us and provide for us all that we need. We give you this offering today as a symbol of our trust in you and a sign of our commitment to live for you. Receive our tithes and offerings. Bless our pledges and intentions. Use us, all that we have and all that we are, for your good and glory. Amen.
Our worship can't be over unless we invite you to come out and live. If you would like to be part of this community of faith, we'd invite you to come forward during the closing hymn where Brother Nick and I will meet you here and welcome you in to our fellowship. If you'd like to come and rededicate your life to Christ here at the altar rail or make your seat a place of dedication, you're welcome to do that as well. And if you'd like for Brother Nick or me to pray with you, simply here at the altar rail, hold out your hands and we will come and join you in prayer. This is the day that the Lord has made. It is a day to live, and it is a day to let other people loose to live as well. So let us stand and sing together our closing hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, number 102. Just verses 1 and 2 together. God, my friends, let us go forth to live in the power and the presence and the abundant mercy of God, and to offer that to others in the power and the presence and the abundant mercy of God. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Thanks be to God.